Our main scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians in the third chapter, verses 27 and 28. Hear the word of the Lord. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. May God bless this hearing, reading, and understanding of this holy word. Let us pray. Father God, at this time, we pray that you would help us to set aside the cares of our hearts, that you would help us to set aside our presumption on things so that we might hear your truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable for you, for we pray in Christ. Amen. So, a short aside. Last week before church, I'm going around, and I come down and I talk to Aridia and to Ken, and somehow this whole thing about women in the ministry came up. And Aridia said, I gotta write that down. So she writes it down, she gets it in the box. At the end of the service, I go over and I have Spencer take and pull the first topic out. And guess what it is? Can you speak to a woman's place in the church and Paul's view in particular? And in my mind, I was like, okay, well, I guess God really wants me to talk on this. So that's how we got to where we are. So thank you, Aridia. Thank you, Spencer. I have two requests and then a disclaimer. The two requests is, number one, ladies, I need you to listen to all of the sermon before passing judgment on the pastor. The second request, all ladies are to stay seated and resist the urge to run forward and tackle the pastor. Barbara, don't sideswipe me. The topic of today's sermon, it's rather large and it is controversial. There's a lot of stuff going around about it that have been said about it, talked about it. I'm going to admit that this message is going to be a little bit messy, and we're probably not going to come to any definitive answers, but I promise that there will be ample food for thought at the end of it. Okay? Everybody agree to the terms and conditions? So, the request was to talk about the woman's role in the church and particularly address Paul's view on it. Now, in order to do that, I have to take and lay a little bit of groundwork. So, I'm going to first talk about a woman's place in relation to a man, and then a woman's place in the ministry of the church. So let's get out some things that we can agree on, and that is that men and women are different. We have different shapes. We have different parts. Some of those, and even the parts that we share, don't serve the same function. And there are certain things that each gender is better at in general. Emotionally, now in general, the way that men and women express their emotions is different. Men, in the most part, are a little bit more stoic. Women are a little more forthcoming with their emotions. And mentally, we are different. Male and female brains work differently. The best analogy for this was done by a man named Mark Gunnor, and he is a Presbyterian pastor, and he is also a speaker. And he says, if you look at a woman's brain, what you'll see is a bunch of wires, and everything is interconnected with everything else. The car is connected to the money is connected to the husband. The lack of money is connected to the husband not being able to make enough money. And this is a whole big bunch of wires, and it's powered by emotion, because women tend to associate emotion with something that has happened. This is why wives can remember things that the husband did 10 years ago crystal clear. So a woman's brain is, you know, make it ding, 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 making all this stuff. Now, if you look at a man's brain is like, you know how in a workshop you'll have a box and it's got the little plastic drawers in it, and you know, you put things in it, and everything is different. Some have got your quarter-inch washers, your half-inch washers. You have to keep your 8-penny, 9-penny, and 10-penny nails. They've got to be separated. So a man has little boxes for everything. One for the car, one for work, one for the wife, one for the mother-in-law. And that one's down in the basement. And men go and we pull out a particular drawer. And we use that in whatever we're doing, and then we very carefully put that back in. We don't let it touch any other drawer in there. So, wives, if you ever notice how when you go to talk to your husband about something, you know, there's that little pause before he will start to react. Well, that's because we're putting a box back and we're getting another box out. So give us a little break. Now, there is a box in every man's brain that is well worn. It's been patched up and it's been painted all over again. And it's called the nothing box. You know what's in the nothing box? Nothing. It's our favorite box. Any man will go to that box and he will pull it out. That's why, you know, we can take and sit and watch TV all afternoon, watch sports. And I'll tell you, the wife doesn't like that box. She hates it. Because when a wife sees her husband is doing nothing, she goes a little bit insane. You should be doing something. How can you sit around and do nothing? It's because we got a nothing box. So all of this that I've said, you know, the differences that we have physically, emotionally, and mentally, what does this have to do with a woman's place in the relationship with man? Answer, absolutely nothing. We have all been made by God the way that we are in order to function in the world the way that God intended the world to function. To understand a woman's place in a relationship with man, we must go all the way back to Genesis, the creation of the world, and looking in the second chapter of Genesis. And then Lord God said, "It is not good that the man shall be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, and God took one of Adam's ribs, and from it he formed woman and brought her to the man. Verse 23 says, "Then the man said, 'This At last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. So there's a couple of things that we can learn from this about how a woman's relationship is supposed to be with the man. Now, Holly, would you stand up and come here for a moment or two? When a man is with a woman, there's a way that they stand. I want you to notice a couple of things, okay? Where is Holly? She's beside me.
I'm on your right.
She's not before me. She's not behind me. She's at my side. She's at my side. And what was on the side? The rib that God took. He could have taken it from the foot. He could have taken it from the skull. But he took it from the side. Because a woman is not above a man. She is not below a man. The other thing, too, is I want you to notice where our hands are. My hand is up here. Holly's hand is behind my back. And she's pulling me in and keeping me. Holly came, if you go all the way back, Holly, it was created from the rib. The rib is close to the heart, which is where the woman should be. The other thing is, usually you got the man's arm up on the shoulder. This is because woman is a precious thing to be guarded, so to speak, protected. Not because she's lower, but because she is that treasure. Now, Holly's hand is around my waist, and like I said, she is pulling me in. So what that says is my part is to protect. Her part is to care, to keep me close. Thank you. Mwah. Now notice something else. In the scripture, God says, I will make him, being Adam, a helper as his partner. The word there is helper. And if you look from the many versions of the Bible, that is how it is translated, helper. It's not slave. It's not servant. It's not maid. It's helper. Which means that the purpose of man and woman is to do things together. One is not more valuable than any other. Now the other passage that I want to talk about real quick is the wedding scripture found in Ephesians chapter 5 that says, wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, also wives ought to be in everything for their husbands. Now, a lot of men are like, you see, I'm large and I am in charge, and whatever I say goes. And men do that because we don't look at what else it says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave everything up for her. Looking at chapter 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own body. For no one ever hates his body, but he nourishes it and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Now, a lot of times you'll hear that first verse, wives, be subject. What's the other word that's used? Submissive. Wives, submit to your husband. Well, you know, again, guys, I'm large and in charge. Now, this kind of is in conflict with that scripture from Genesis, because this seems to give more value to the husband than to the woman. And my friends, that is not what this is saying. If you read this entire passage, there is a commitment one to the other between the husband and the wife. Remember, the wife is called the helper. And that means that the husband and the wife are basically a team. And they talk together. They discuss things that are going on. The only thing is, the husband has the responsibility for his family. Just as Christ is head of the church, the husband is the head of the family. Doesn't mean he's any better. That means he bears a responsibility to make sure that his household is well, that his wife is well, his children are well. And as I said, the husband and the wife should be talking to each other. And if you can't come to some sort of agreement, the husband has to make the decision, and the husband bears the responsibility of that decision. Now, having laid this groundwork and seeing that men and women are equal to each other, let's now talk about the real controversial subject, women in ministry. What is a woman's place in the ministry of the church? Well, if you look at the Old Testament, you'll see some things such as Deborah, who was one of the judges of the Jewish people. Now, a judge was a leader before the monarchy was established and Saul was made king. So a judge was a leader, they were an arbitrator, and they were a little bit of a prophet. So people would come to Deborah if they had disagreements to get some sort of judgment. There is also Queen Esther, that is found in the book of Esther, who is a queen, is subject to the king, but interacts with him in such of a way that she helps the king to make the proper decision. Let's look at the New Testament now, and this is where things appear to be a little bit different. If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, it says, "Let a woman learn in silence with full submission. I permit no woman to teach or have authority over a man. She is to keep silent. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, provided they continue in faith, love, and holiness, and with modesty." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 33b through 35 says, "As in all the churches of the saints, women should be silent in church, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be subordinate, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to know, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in church." So what's Paul saying? Ladies, when you're in church, shut up. You're not allowed to say anything. God forbid that a woman is a preacher. There you go. No. That's verboten. That's wrong. Right? That's what it says. That's what it says, women. Shut up. You're not allowed to preach. Especially in the New Testament, that we must remember that especially the books that we have in the New Testament that were written by Paul were letters to specific churches with specific needs. And Paul wrote these not to be theological texts. They are also a reflection of the times in which they were written. Now, in the society, in Paul's society, in that society, what was going on with women? Well, number one, women were not educated. Only the men were. Only the men went and had religious teaching. Any education that the woman got came from her husband. Now, if you think about it in context, Paul's words make a little bit of sense. It makes sense that women should not speak in church and ask questions because it disrupted the service. Women did not have enough knowledge to preach authoritatively. Sometimes they would say things that were not true. And because of that fact, that's a lot of what Paul is saying in the letters when he says, I forbid women from teaching. It's because they were teaching falsehoods. So I believe that Paul is saying, what he is saying here is because women of his age were not educated, did not have the religious training to preach, that they should be silent. Shut up. Now, ladies, let me ask you a question. Who has gone to Sunday school? Who's gone to church camp? Who's gone to youth groups? Guess what? You've been educated. You've got some basis. The other thing too, let me ask this. Ladies, who has a bachelor's degree? Who's got a master's degree? Anybody got a doctorate? Women today are educated. We want women to be educated. There's some Neanderthals that don't believe that, but they are incorrect. The other thing about Paul is Paul, if you look at it, Paul seems to be inconsistent in what he is saying. All of these passages that seem to say that women have no place in the ministry are inconsistent with other things that Paul has talked about. The notion that a woman is any less than a man contradicts what the Bible says in other places. Go back to Genesis. What's Genesis tell us? We're a team. We work together. We're equal. We bring things to the table. Deborah, leader. Look at all of the interactions that Jesus had with women that shows how much he valued them. When Jesus was with Mary and Martha, Martha was in the kitchen, Mary was at his feet. Jesus let her be there to learn from him. He didn't say, like other men, go to the kitchen, Mary, and cook, get me a sandwich. And let me ask you a question. Who did Jesus first appear to after his resurrection? Women. Oh my gosh, women. Women were the first evangelists. Women, but wait, women don't have a part in ministry. The other thing that is inconsistent with Paul is many times he talks about women having a major role in the church. At the end of Romans, when he is giving his greetings, we read, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church of Caesarea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as fitting for the saints, to help her in whatever she may require from you. For she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, who work with me in Jesus Christ and who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Paul's talking about women that are equal to him doing the same things that he is doing. But women need to be silent in church. In Philippians, he says, I urge Iridia and I urge Sithonok to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose name are in the book of life. Again, Paul's talking about women that are doing the same work that Paul is. Now, this brings me back to the scripture that I read this morning. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. Which says, yes, we've got differences between males and females, but you know what? And that's a good thing. But to God, it doesn't matter. We are all one in Christ. So what truths can we draw from what the Bible says about a woman's place in Christianity? Well, number one, a woman is no more or no less than a man. The woman and the man are partners and helpers to each other. A man has the responsibility for what goes on in his house. But that is the only difference. Women have an important role in the church. Whether that be doing things with the women's group, whether that is teaching Sunday school, whether that is taking part in church discussions, and yes, my friends, even preaching from the pulpit. The qualifications for ministry are the same for both a man and a woman. You need to have training. You need to study. You need to seek the truth in what God tells us in the scripture. And you need to understand the context in which the scripture was written. Now, society is not the same today as it was in the time of Jesus and the time of Paul. We've grown up a little bit, learned a couple of things. And one of those things is both men and women have a role to play in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen.